First of all, I'd like to welcome everyone, to thank you for taking out of your schedule to come here. It's a Kiddush Hashem that we get together to talk about Advar Hashem. I also want to thank our dear friend Itcha, Madison Teitel, Lanul, Tanya Wexler, other people who are involved in making this event happen. What we're going to discuss today are just basic guidelines or principles of when you're allowed to contest, go in front of a planning board or a zoning board, to Yidden, what issues may be involved, what issues you could get around. It's not so much we're going to discuss actually practical situations to know what the halacha says, but we're going to discuss practical situations throughout this year. I'm planning on giving numerous examples to discuss, are you allowed to go to the board to fight this, or must you go to the Bezin first? Must you get permission from the Bezin first? I invite questions. I enjoy questions. I want it to be an interactive shiur. But I do request if the question could be limited to stuff that's directly negated to the shiur. If we need some clarification on something that I said, I'm not clear, please ask. If it's some personal issue that you have that you need determination on, let's wait till after the shiur for that. So let's start off with a simple story, a simple case. Somebody would like to develop his property. He would like to, needs a variance, let's say, and he wants to go in front of the board, he wants to go in front of the zoning board. You're the neighbor, it bothers you, it disturbs you, he's too close to the property line, it's too high, too big. And you want to know, do you have the right to contest? This is an open forum. Can I appear in front of the zoning board and contest? And he'll have a turn to speak, and I'll have a turn to protest and show why I believe that he shouldn't be entitled to get his variance. Is that permissible? May I fight it in front of the zoning board or not? Or may I must go to Bezin first? Now, there are many issues involved in this shaila. Most notably is the Issar HaKoyis, to go in front of any secular body to make any determination between two Yidin is generally an Issar HaKoyis. There could be other halachas involved. There could be an issa of mazik. It could be issa of moisa even on certain situations. And in Yetzer Shem today, I'm going to discuss certain heterim that we'll have here, or possible heterim. And it's not a problem of an issa arkois. And I'm always reluctant to give out, so to speak, heterim when it's naget issa arkois, because issa arkois is an issa chomer ma'oid. Chomer ma'oid. And I would like to just spend, I guess, a minute just, I'm sure we all know about it, but it's Kedai Mesillas Yesharim says to go over how chama the Issa Arkoyis is. It's an Issa Daraisa Lefneim Velo Lefnei Arkoyis. It's a Bezrayo David Zara. It's one of the few halachas, few applications left that we have that falls under the category of Avodah Zarah. The Poskim say, Akedei Kach, if it goes under Bezrayo David Zara, it's one of the three cardinal averes, that's Yarag Val Yavar. It's an issa chama ma'id. Someone who does it is roi for chayrim. He can, according to the Ketzer Kedoshim, he can't be included in a minyan. Agav, v'didi hava uvda. I was sitting on the din Torah. Many people involved in this din Torah. And one party actually took the other party to court, shaloi b'rishus bezdin. So they were definitely transgressing an issa akayis. A very complicated multi-million dollar case. I'm not getting into the case itself, but there was a break, and we needed a minion, and there was a minion in the room. Just between the Balidin, the Tayanim, the Dayanim, there was a minion in the room, a minion Matzumtzum. And the Dayanim made the decision that we're not going to have Mincha in the room, because we cannot include two of the Balidin, because they're in court, Shalai Kedin. It cannot be included in a minion. Mishabru Pasim, they can't serve as a chazan for the Amid. It's an issa chomer ma'oid. They lose their cheskes kashas for stam. It goes on and on and on. And I'm mentioning here, I noticed there are a number of attorneys in the room. It's kedai to mention that the issa is not only on the baldin, but an extension to the issa goes on the attorneys as well. The Rama says that someone who goes to arkoi shaloi b'shus is chayiv for chayrim. And even kolam maksik biyodoi, that means all the attorneys who take a party, represent a party in court, shaloi bishus bezdin, is also chayiv acherim. It's It's a chomer moed. This is just a backdrop to the situation. So now, there are Peskim who hold that going in front of a zoning board is going to be an Itzar Kais. The reason being is here you're going to have a determination made by a secular body based on secular laws to determine an issue or dispute between two parties which are Yidden. So that's going to be an Itzar Kais. Clearly, if one party is not a Yid, if one party is a Goy, we won't have this problem. Goyim don't listen to Bezdin, so you have a Heter. But if both parties are Yidden, the R place can hold that it's an Isra Kais to go in front of the zoning board, planning board, any board to determine a dispute between two parties is grounds for this of our Kais. Now, in Lakewood, you might think that, hey, it doesn't apply, because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I see a number of members in from the planning board, zoning board, but my understanding is that Rubu Kukuloi of the members of these boards are Yidden. And maybe, if you go in front of a board that are Yidden, maybe the Issa does not apply. And that's a mistake. The Tumim and the Chazanish say clearly that to go in front of a board, in front of a judicial body, even if it's a Yid, but the laws that he applies to determine the case, to determine the outcome of this dispute, is based on secular law, or equity, or whatever it is, other than the principles of halacha, is an Isra Kais, and therefore the Chazanich paskins, that it's also to go in front of the Beit HaMishpat in Eretz Yisrael, even though the judge might be a Yid. Because he's applying not Torah, he's applying secular law. So be an Isra Kais to go in front of such a judge. So the fact that the members of the board might be all Yidden do not help in this situation. The planning board members is the judge, right? So they might be misayeya in some way, but they don't have the issue of bringing in front of the judges. They are the judge. No, the lawyer is the misayeya to go in front of them. They have a position, they're high. Now, again, everyone knows these stories. Famous story from, actually two famous stories, one with Judge Schmidt, another Yid, when there was a dispute between two, I don't know which factions, but two Yiddish factions who came in front of him, he called them up to the bench and said, what are you guys doing here? The two Yidden going to Beis Din. So obviously if you can promote them and encourage them to go to Beis Din, Gavaldik, but if you can't do that, that would be fine. You're saying, there's two Yidden. You're saying not a dispute? Well, there's two. It's two opposing parties who are arguing over a specific instance. They want to get a determination from this body that's applying secular law.
No, respectfully, only one is arguing.
Okay.
The applicant cannot build the house.
Right.
He'll be fined, he'll go to jail without the permit, without the
fine.
He's just asking the government to exercise their right. It's the other one who's arguing.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, hopefully, I think you might be touching on something that I'm about to say and develop, the other position of the Rabbanim. I'm just giving, the first position is, of Heintig Rabbanim, that there are a number of Rabbanim who hold that there is this case of going to a secular board of zoning or planning. What we're going to try to develop today is to present the other position, and the position why it might be permissible to go in front of such a board, and that might be what you're touching on. I think we have to just give a shtickel hagdama here. There's a hagdama that there's a Tshuvas Maharik in Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph. The Maharik talks about a case where you live in a city, you're doing business, you have a store in the city, and you're afraid of competition, and someone trying to come from outside the city into the city. And in halacha, the Tshuvas Harash holds, the Shitas Harash is, that as long as the person coming into the city is willing to pay taxes, willing to become a full-fledged citizen of the city, then you cannot stop him. He's allowed to come in. And once he is allowed to come in, he has a right to open up a competing store. And it's going to cause, I guess, diminish the pranos of the first party. So Dr. Chuvis Marik, that even though in halacha, he cannot stop him, the person has a right to move into the city. But if he has the ability to petition the Tsar to not let that second guy enter the city, he has a right to petition the Tsar and block him from coming in. He has a right to do other minias as well, he said. Whatever you need to do, permissible minias, but whatever you need to do, you're allowed to stop that other person coming into the city. It's a chiddush of Marik, that even though in halacha the same guy may come in, but nevertheless I could ask the Tsar to intervene and block him from coming in. I'll give you a take on a practical example of this Marik. A number of years ago, when I guess Lakewood was a little younger and not as big and not an Irvein B'Yisrael, it became a very big issue here in town that at end of season sales, people used to come in and flood the markets with merchandise from other areas. They used to come in from Muncie, from Borough Park, from Flatbush, and just flood the market with all types of merchandise, farm, whatever it is, and cause terrible damage to the store owners here in town. And the question is what to do about it. And a number of Rabbanim try to get involved and block them from coming in. It's very challenging in halacha. If the second party who's coming is giving it a discounted price and it's l'teva se'ir, in Hilchas Hasagas Gvul, if you come in and you're doing something l'teva se'ir, it's difficult to stop. So the question is, what could be done? But in Nebuch, there are a lot of store owners who are suffering. And I asked the shaila to my Rebbe, Rav Nissen Karelitz Shlita, and he told me, you have a simple etzem. What you do is you ask all the people who publicize, then it wasn't even the Voice yet, but all the BP Graphics, who are the people who make the publications in town to notify that they're coming in? Well, you do very simple. You ask them, please, to protect the interest of the members of the city, don't advertise. Mamela, no one will know that they're coming in, and you'll save a lot of the problem. So here you have a situation where it's mutter for them to come in, but you could use, exercise different, I guess, other types of ways to make minis to prevent them from coming in. Chazanish mentions a way. What you do is, if they want to rent certain space, you ask from those people who have those halls, please don't rent to people, members outside our community who are trying to flood the market. So it's a way to, what we're doing is we're accomplishing, even though it's halacha allows them to come in, but we're accomplishing blocking them to come in by using other methods. And that's based on this Marik. The Marik says it's permissible to do so. Okay, that needs shikal hadas. That's true. I am not getting into that right now. But yes.
Why should the advertiser suffer? He needs revenues too. Why should the fellow who's renting out his all suffer? He needs income also. He's got a mortgage.
Correct. But the Rabbanim who were involved at the time felt that the good outweighed the bad. That means it would be the greater interest, the better interest of the community to have these guys out of here. Because I remember speaking to one of the Rabbanim, and he said that what happens is they come into town, they flood the market, they'll say this is at the end of the winter, and then if a person needs a pair of shoes in May, the shoe store is closed because he couldn't make it, because he was flooded and he can't make it through the Pesach season. So it's to the better interest of the Tzibur, to this wide, worldwide city, to the whole area, is it for our best interest to have them around, these stores around 24/6 throughout the year. All right. That's an application of this Marik. Just fine. Now let's move on. That's the Marik Shita, and we need this Marik. But the Beis Yosef, when he brings down this Marik at the end of Siman Kuf Nun Vav, he jumps on the Marik, and he says it's a tmua. What's the Marik talking about? How could you involve a Goyish Asar to block an issue between two Yidden? You're not allowed to do that. You're damaging the other person. He has the right to come in, and you're blocking him. That means you're taking away his right to come in, ayidei asar. And that's usa to do. It would be tantamount to hiring a guy to beat up another yid, not to compete with me. I'm taking a sar, and getting him involved to prevent someone else to come in to the city, which rightfully, halakhically, he has a right to do. And the Beis Yosef argues, and there's a Chuvus Mabit in Chela Gimel Simel Amar Aleph who argues, many, many tshuvas deal with this marik. There's a marajdam. There are many kadmoinim who deal with the marik, and they all have the covered haroi for the marik, but after begin, they all wonder, where is the marik coming from? So now we have a machloikis here. La halacha, the Ramah brings down the marik. The Ramah, Simukufn, and Vavsev Zayim brings down the marik, that you have a right to do so. So we have a machloikis, and throughout the ages, the achrayim constantly go back and forth in a machloikis, and only b'shas hatchak could you rely on the marik. Goes back and forth. But that, so now we have a machlekes. But if you look in the Achronim, the Avnei Nezer, the Kesef HaKadoshim, other Achronim, what comes out is that there's not much of a machlekes between the Marik and the Beis Yosef. It's just a fundamental machlekes in that particular application. Everyone agrees, and this is the important nekud that we need now, everyone agrees that if the second guy already has the right to do so, to involve a sar would be usur. And everyone agrees that if the second guy doesn't have the right yet to involve the sar would be mutter. And the whole machlokes is when a person, when we have open borders and people could come in and move into the city, is that considered as if that person who's out of town already has the right to live in the city? Or since he didn't exercise that right, he didn't move in yet, so he doesn't have that right yet, and it's still what we call menias harevach or whatever, and if I could get the sar to come in. The lumdus is, if he already has it, if he's already here, let's mind the polak, I can't ask the sar to throw him out of the city. Because I'm taking away something that's his already, and to do so, ayadei goy is asar. It's also mesir, it's also mazik, it could be also altar kreis. It could be also for numerous reasons. If he doesn't have that right yet, he doesn't own it yet, it's not his yet, and I'm blocking him from coming in, that's fine, it's manisa rebek. Look, I'm here first. I need to protect my interests as well. So to protect, I'm not doing it to hurt him. I'm doing it to protect my interests, to protect my interests. I'm asking the sar, I'm petitioning the sar, get involved. Help me, I'm a citizen here. Help me and don't allow him to step on me. That's the nekuda. Is it something that he already has and it's his? I'm now dealing with an issue that's his. Or it's something that's not his and I'm dealing with an issue that sort of belongs to the sar. That means the sar owns the city and the sar has the right to decide who he wants to allow to come into the city, who he wants to grant a visa, who he wants to grant a right to live in the city. And I'm petitioning the sar, don't grant that right. The Marik's Lumdus is, and here's a story, the Marik's Lumdus is, what happens if you have a guy, I don't know, a generous guy, he wants to give out matanas. If you're good with him, you can warm him up, you know, he'll give you a matana. And your neighbor wants to go to him and get a matana from him. I also want to get a matana from him. So I'll go to the guy and try to get the guy to give me the matana instead. There's no Isser HaKais. I'm not dining on my money. I'm not dining on my friend's money. I'm dining on the sar's money. It's the guy's money. It's his money. He can decide who he gives it to. And I'm trying to argue, give it to me and not to him. And that guy's arguing, fakir, give it to him and not to me. And nothing to do with HaKais. And nothing to do with Mazik. I'm not being Mazik his money. And we're dealing, the issue at hand is the guy's money. And therefore, there's no problem of Mesira, no problem of Mazik, and no problem of Arkais. All the problems start is when we're dealing with a Yid's money, an asset that belongs to a Yid, a right that belongs to a Yid, and I want to get a determination, can he do something with an asset that belongs to him or not? That's when there's a problem of Hezik, Mesira, Arkais, etc. Okay, so let's talk about a case. Good case. Let's talk about a case. I believe in Lakewood. I don't know. You correct me if I'm wrong. I believe in Lakewood. You can't have push carts on Clifton Avenue selling stuff. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, fine. Now I have this great business idea of having a push cart. Let's turn this into Manhattan, and I'll do it as well. You know, great idea. So I'll go to the powers that may be here in town. I'll go to Menashe. I'll go to whoever it is, the committee members, and I'll say, do me a favor. Let's pass a law, an ordinance to allow me to do so. Now, comes along the sellers, the store owners, and up, what, you crazy? It's going to destroy the economy, destroy the town. So they'll petition the board not to. They'll petition the committee members not to. That's fine. Perfectly okay. Because the streets are owned by the government. And what we're doing is where I'm asking the government, grant me a matana and allow me to push cart to sell over here, and you're asking the government, don't grant him that matana. The item that's in dispute, so to speak, is the item that belongs to the government. So it's a government item, no mesira, no mazik, no arkais. We're not, two yidden are fighting over an asset that belongs to the government, to a guy. No problem. Sorry? Okay, you're going to the how, it's owned by we the people, I understand. Well, it's not really for now, but The government patrops him, and that's how it is. That's it. So what we're arguing is an asset that belongs to the government, and that's fine. That's not a problem. Oh, if he's already doing a pushcart there, then look, and now I want to master him to the government, that has its issue. And that might be a Nisim Mesira. What you really have to do in such a case, what you have to do is petition him, you would have to mun him to Beis Din to stop him from violating the rights, because the town, they protect the interests of the storekeepers. And then if you would have to petition to Beis Din to stop. And if he doesn't listen, then Beis Din will give a heter, go be masa him. Sure, go to town and stop him. If the guy doesn't want to listen to Beis Din, then yes, we'll make sure that he listens to the government.
This exact scenario actually played itself out. You had 1 year before Pesach, a bunch of people came for permits to sell hot dogs and then burgers and everything at Pesach before Pesach. So we gave the permits by all means, great idea. And the stores came to us and said, how are you talking? We're open a whole year, we have overhead, and we can't compete with $1 a hot dog. We can't compete with that. How could you give out permits for that?
Okay, so that, I'm just stepping.
The difference between something the government controls on the street as opposed to on my personal property?
Oh, I'm going to get, now that's the tricky part. Let's go to personal property. That's going to be a tricky part here. So let's go back. I just want to give simple stories that we could all agree on. And now we're going to go to a property the person wants to build on. So let's take a simple case. Just bring it out. I want to develop this a drop. A simple case. My neighbor wants to build a house conforming. No variance necessary. Everything is mamish by the book. Doesn't even have to go in front of the zoning board. It goes in front of the planning board, correct? Okay. But he still needs to get some type of approval, a permit, whatever it might be called.
A building permit.
Good. Let me ask you, and I'm throwing out this question. I have my idea, but I want to know if maybe you could tell me. Are we dealing with an asset that belongs to a yid or not? That means, I'll explain the question. A person owns a property. Intrinsically, if you own something, you could develop it. So right now, are we saying, is the case that if Reuven owns a property, he has a right to build on that property, just that it shouldn't be chaos, so the town has to have some type of supervision mechanism in place. So they make sure that before you build, you have to get a license, a permit, whatever it is. But beside, in Bialis, he has the right to build. There might be an issa that prevents him from building because the township prohibited him from building without getting a permit.
That's wrong. The township that makes the ordinance is allowing me to build how much I can build. Me going to the township, if I go to Menashe, I want to be able to build 4 stories on my personal lot. And then my neighbor comes and says, a friend of mine goes to the township and says, I don't want private lots to be able to have more than 35 feet like it was till today. Is that a question of
Mesir
going to
Akois? If you're asking to change the laws and make a whole different...
Right.
Now, I'm taking a very simple case. Let me give a very simple case. I want to start simple and go Mikala Lachayma. In Lomdis, and you have to just hear me out, because it's a dakistik achilik, and I would love if someone would have a raya to this, but you have to first understand that to bring a raya. The case is like this. If my neighbor would like to build something that conforms, When the zoning board rules were made, I don't know, way back when, you would have to know the origin of the rules.
1954.
Exactly, okay. And how they were made, I want to know like this. I want to know, is it pshat that they usurped a person's bialis as if today you think you own this lot, but you really don't own this lot to build? It's a non-buildable lot in bialis. If you want, you could ask the government to now grant you and give you matana and also give you the right to build on this lot too. But the building rights on this lot now belong to, I don't know, hyperspace. I know, belong to the government, but don't belong to you. That's one way. That's pretty extreme, I think. But I would suggest, but I'm open for suggestions, is that it's the other way. They didn't touch your bylaws. You own this lot. You have a right to build on this lot. They made prohibitions on this lot, preventing you from building unless you get approval or permit from the township. And I'll give you a mashal. Practical example, I think we all could relate to it. The tshuvas have a shailob. Am I allowed to build a sukkah on a fire escape? You have a porch outside your building, a fire escape. Can I build a sukkah on that fire escape? By law, you're not allowed to build on your fire escape. It's your fire escape. You can't build on it. Why can't you build on it? Because then it's no longer a fire escape. It's obstructing. You won't be able to get out if there's a fire. So the Shaila came to the Paiskim, are you allowed to build a sukkah? Because if you don't own the fire escape to build, then it's a sukkah gzula. If you own the fire escape to build, just they prohibit you from building there. I did a terrible aveira to the government, but it's my fire escape, so I'm not a sukkah gzula, it's mine. So I want to know, is the same thing here? I want to know, and by the way, this Shaila went, Debrezina holds by the fire escape Agav, he holds it about, it's my fire escape, I could build my sukkah. Just, yes, I want a van, maybe I'll get a fine, or whatever, but I could build my sukkah on the fire escape. They made a provision, it's an issa on top of it, but they didn't take away my bailus from it. So I want to know here too, if I own a lot, and I want to build an alat, and I want to conform. Avada, I need approval, I need a permit. But till I get that permit, I don't own the lot to build. I own a lot that I can build on. I don't have this chutz bailus to build on. Or I could, bailus I could build, just I have an issa. I'm now let it build because they told me I can't build without a permit.
Is the rabbi asking the question, al bi halacha or dinu machus
ha-din? Dinu machus ha-din. I want to know legally what they did.
That is not even an issue. It's very clear. You have the right to do whatever you want with your property. Except that in New Jersey in 1954 we had the Planning Act, other states in different years, which create limitations in order to have a zoning scheme. The limitations have to be reasonable in accordance with zoning principles. They can't be unreasonable. But in any event, the absolute right to build on your property comes with the ownership of the property, limited only by a reasonable zoning scheme to protect the integrity of the neighborhood.
Okay, so let me just take this position. I'll hear the dissenting, but 1 second. But according to let's just bring this out. According to Mr. Smith, if a person has the bailus to build, then the issue at hand, if I would like to object to my neighbor's permit, what's going to end up happening now is I'm fighting over an asset that belongs to a yid. Oh, now, finding over an asset that belongs to Yid now is Mazik, could be Mesira, could be a Sarakoyis. I'm fighting over something that belongs to a Yid in front of a secular body. That could be problematic. In which case, I would have to first go to Beis Din and get permission to go to court.
But can I ask, I go back to my question, if you belong to Yid, can I ask the township to pass an ordinance, in general, for the whole town?
You could ask, and I could fight that.
That affects, but am I allowed to do that?
You're allowed to, why not? What can...
Go to Beis Din.
No, if you want to ask the township to create a law, Gazinda, you could ask
them.
You could ask them, and they'll ask. It means you're asking the Tsar to do something, and I'm going to ask the Tsar to do Feket. That's fine.
So can we do that?
If I don't like what he said, I have to go to Beis Din first.
In his situation, he's going off the top. His situation is that we're asking this great plan that we're going to restructure Lakewood and make this now from an R10 to an R75, and I say it's going to kill my neighborhood, so I want to ask him, do me a favor, just, you know, make it back to an R10 or keep it as an R10.
So, R75 to R10 and affect all these people that have R75.
Fine, that's fine. That you're allowed to do. You're not dealing with any specific... What you're doing is you're asking the government to create laws or change laws. That's fine. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is we know the laws. I own a property and I could build on this property. And of course, I can't build wild. Before I build, I need a plumber's permit. Before I get, have a tenant in my house, I need a CO. It doesn't take away my buy list from the thing. I still have buy list in the item. Just, of course, I have to work with the township.
Why do you view the planning board as a court, a secular court, as opposed to an arm of the government, the same government that said, these are our laws and we want to implement them. The way we give you a permit is through this board.
But you have to know what a permit is. That's what we're trying to discuss. What is the lumpness of a permit? Until I have the permit, do I own the right to build or not?
But the same government that made that law said they should implement it.
I have no problem that they said they should implement it, but the halacha says you can't get a sar involved on Yiddish money. You can't involve a secular body to make determinations what you should be doing with your money. Because I'm not petitioning on a specific
part.
I'm asking them to change a rule. Okay, fine. You can do
this.
Rabbi Sarah?
Yes.
I'm sorry, the comparison to the fire escape, it's a false analogy.
Go ahead.
It's a false analogy. And I don't agree with Norman. The zoning scheme, when you say you own a lot, where'd you get the lot? Where'd you get it from? How does it exist? It exists on a map that was filed. The sovereign has completely preempted zoning and planning, completely. It's a sovereign function of the state. When you say you own a lot, you own a defined legal space that has on it requirements for utilities, sewer, water, gas, electricity, cable TV, everything's got to be there. It's completely preemptive. To say that it's like a fire escape, that it's really your apartment, is really not an analogy at all. You have no, the control over land has been preempted by the sovereign, and that's the way it is. It's not the pshat, it's my
I know, Mr. Smith said that was created in 1954. Do no lots existed before 1954?
No, I'm sorry. It's not my land, except it's my land, except that's very yeshivish.
I'm giving you an example.
There's another requirement that I have to think about. When sometimes they have ecological zones, you can't build in a floodplain, for example.
Wetlands.
You can't, and the rule is, as long as the government leaves you some useful purpose for your property, they don't have to pay for it. There's some line that they occasionally have to draw about when have they left you some useful purpose and when haven't they. So it seems to me that the government has taken the position that all the legal rights that you have in your property, they can take away up to some point. And as long as they haven't crossed that line, they haven't taken away anything that belongs to you because they only want to pay for it when they cross that line. So that shows that your bylaws in the property
is limited.
Only a kind of a minimum use. And anything beyond that,
okay. So basically, good. So now we have a machlokes. Good. So basically, this machlokes will determine the halakha. That means if you hold that it's something that you have, that it's a yiddish or bialis just with a prohibition, so then it will be an issa to go. You would have to first go to Bezin. And if you say that it doesn't belong to the yid, the right to build, even if it conforms, belongs to the government, so to speak, then you wouldn't have a problem, because then you're really petitioning the government to give me that right. And who petitioned the government not to give me that right?
If you buy the land, it's the same thing as a mazik and nizik. I can't complain if being mazik me if he has a factory by moving next door. When you buy land that's been subdivided, you're taking subject to all the restrictions of the subdivision. And we all live in subdivided land. We all live subject to zoning.
Okay. One more, and then we'll go out, because we're running out of the edge.
The takings clause is what he was referring to. Why can't you say that you have a property rights or a bundle of rights? The zoning was instituted in 1954, but the government has the ability, under the takings clause that was brought up, to restrict your bundle of property rights. Now, what you own are property rights A through F. Now the issue of property right X, which would have been yours before the institution, has now been taken away. It's not all or nothing.
I know, but do I have a right to build on this lot if I confirm?
If you go to the board, they can't deny you. If you're asking for a conforming subdivision, application 100% conforming, they're not allowed to deny you.
I don't know. It's a hot question. You're telling me it was never denied?
Yeah. 100% conforming, legally. You're not allowed to deny you. So that's the answer. It doesn't make a difference if you own it,
they have to give it to you. And if they don't,
then you could sue them. Right, I understand. Okay, fine. Fine. Okay, Rabbi Sai, let's move on. We're running out of time here. There's a lot more. I want to take it to the next case. I thought that this shlav would be fairly simple, and I thought the problem would be the next shlav. The next shlav is when the person wants to build something that doesn't conform and he needs a variance. Now, here is where the poiskim, depending who you ask, and maybe it depends on state to state or country to country, where they have a disagreement on how to understand what it means when you need a variance. Does it mean that, yes, you own the property, you have bylaws and property to build something normal that conforms? You want to do something abnormal, you need a variance, then you need to request of them to grant you that right that till now did not exist. You don't have that right. So then you're asking for a matana from the Tsar, in which case he would have a right to contest. Or is it, no, even that, I really have bylaws. Really, my bylaws is Ad HaShemayim. Like the Gemara says, you own the mitayim ara ad the riki. I own the bias to build as big and up to the property line as I want. there are prohibitions, and I have to work with those prohibitions from the state or from the township, and therefore I'll ask for variances. Is it my right to build? It's my bailitz, it's my asset, in which case, if you contest, you're even, it's a hezek arkois, or is it not my right? Because that, if it doesn't conform, that already was usurped from me, was taken from me, and that I don't have a right to unless I petition the township to give it to me. That is a machloikas apoiskim. Now, if we have a machloikas on the first shlav, presumably we're going to have a machloikas, a lawyer's, on the second shlav. Fine. If anyone has a clear riot to this, and you don't have to tell it to me now, go home, do research, go, I don't know, case law, and if you have anything that's conclusive, please let me know. I would be really interested to find out.
You did skip one step, which is that sometimes you have to go to the planning board, not for a variance, but for something that they have a kind of discretionary right over that's kind of a middle ground.
A site plan approval. So you're asking for an variance.
So, again, it will fall under this. If it's something that the guy has a bailitz to, just needs permission to do it, it would be also. If something doesn't, if he doesn't have the bailitz to do it, it's already taken away from him, it belongs to the township, then it would be mutter. No, he only, if the position that some place would have would be is that he only has the bailitz to build what conforms. What doesn't conform, he no longer has that bailitz, was taken away from him, let's say in 1954, was taken away from him. He doesn't have that right anymore. So therefore, you're asking the township to grant you that right. That's a matana. So we're fighting over the sar. Who should give the matana to?
Could you look at the difference that it's the zoning board, it's a quasi judicial board, and therefore is applying secular law?
It might be in a certain, maybe in terms of Arkoyis. I'd rather not go down there because we still have other Yisurim. Rabbi, so let me go to Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky Zatzal. When people ask him the Shiloh, could they fight in front of a board? Now, if anyone knows what goes on in Muncie, I don't know. But at least in Muncie, he used to tell people that they have to go to Beis Din first. How, and the Piskei Choshen writes the same thing. That's Rabbi Blei Zatzal in Eretz Yisrael. He writes the same thing. However, what I heard from Rabbi Yankov, and this is up to the discretion of the Beis Din, is that normally there's a whole procedure to go to through Beis Din. You'll have to send 3 Azmanis, and the guy has to be a Masar V'lo V'lo Din before you get a Heta to go in front of our Koyis. What I heard, and I only heard from one person, but I heard that Rabbi Yankov held that you should go to Beis Din and send an Azmana. And the guy plays games, don't bother. Beis Din should give you a Heta even after the first Hazmana, because the guy is playing games. There are already enough studim in halacha based on this marik that you had a right to fight anyway. So it's like, mi yois toiv, Rabbi Yankov said, go try in Beis Din first. If the guy's playing games, then play games back, so to speak, and then you could go and take him to the board, because anyway, there's what to be soimikon in halacha. So having said that, that's probably the best way to go, again, depending on how you understand the sugya, but that's probably the best way to go. So how does the Beis Din deal with the issue? So that I asked the person, this Ravel told me this, and Rabbi Yankov told me that the same way they deal with the issue. And we've done it. What we'll do is very often we will call up committee members or people who are in the know of how this is, what's normal, what's abnormal, and deal with the situation. Give them the guidelines that basically would be the same guidelines that would be done from a board. Usually that's how we'll go. I mean, something that's what Rabbi Yankov calls is fear. He had an example. I forget the example. We don't have time for it. But basically, we'll try to be fair and equitable, so to speak, just like the boards are. Okay. I know we're running out of time here. I had a lot more to say, but I just want to give one more scenario. Take it to the next step. In order to go in front of the board, certainly I believe in front of the zoning board, could be a planning board as well, I don't know about that, but at least in front of the zoning board, you have to give notice to everyone within X amount of feet from your property.
200 feet.
200 feet, excellent, good. Let's say in that 200 feet, there are 20 neighbors, okay? And this has happened, unfortunately, all too often, that, let's call it conveniently, only 18 out of the 20 neighbors were notified. Punk, the 2 neighbors that you know will object, were conveniently not notified. And we've heard this story, unfortunately, numerous times. And they go in front of the board. There's no objection. Hey, why not? They give the variance. If the variance is, oy vey, the 2 people object, I didn't know, it's a terrible, they, They didn't notify. So now they're running to try to undo the damage, to undo the variance that was given. So now like this. Once a person received that variance, he already owns that right already. Now to go in front of the board, so to speak, to rescind that right, l'chayra might be a problem. You won't even have the marik anymore. He already has that right. Correct. That's what I'm going to bring out. But the problem is, means like this. You could have said that the whole nesina was a nesina b'tayis. Al-daita d'hochi, they never would have given it to him. And memela, it's like if a sar gives something on the false pretense, I'm telling the sar, go exercise your right and take it back, because had you known, you would have never given it. And if that would be the case, one could argue you could do it. The problem is that that's not how the procedure is done. You don't go back to the board and ask them to take it back. I don't think they have the ability to take it back. You have to go in front of a court and sue. I don't know who you're suing. You're suing the board. You're suing the other party. You have to make a lawsuit to try to undo the damage. And that already becomes a little more complicated, because now you're going in front of our case on a matona that already took place. Who decides that it's void?
It's void ab initio, though it's 100% right. It never existed. But you have to have a judge
establish. But you need a judge to determine that. So to the extent you need a judge to determine that, then it's much more common. Now you're asking a judge to make a determination on something that seemingly already belongs to him, who make a determination retroactively that it never belonged to him. Fine. But to go in front of our kais to pass in something retroactively is also in this our kais. And is there a kois and is a mazikism? I understand. But once you're involving a kois, you might have to go, have to go in front of a bezdin and take the issue to bezdin and determine if there was proper notice or not. And if it's not proper notice, then... If you can go back to the board, that's one thing. Menashe, could you go back to the board or you have to go to court? So you have to go to a judiciary branch. So, once you have to do that, you're involving the courts, it's much more common. Rabbi, I want to be Messiah with two more short examples and let it go. I know that the hour is late, I'm running out of time. Two more examples. The whole het of the Marik, even those who believe in the Marik, even though the whole Marik is challenged by the Poskim, and we'll assume, and I know this is Machlokes lawyers, but let's assume that it's applicable, let's say a variance, let's just say that you no longer have the right, and now it's a matona that belongs to the Tsar, and now we want to exercise the Marik to say that we're fighting over this matona. That whole let of the Marik, the Poskim say, the Devar Makil, the Avnei Nezer, other Poskim say, is only when you're trying to protect your interests. But if that's not your motive, why wouldn't it be your motive? Well, sometimes what the guy is really doing, you really don't care, and it doesn't bother you at all. Happens to be you don't get along with your neighbor, so you're going to make it hard for him and make it difficult for him, so you'll challenge him. You're not interested in being nice to your neighbor. In such a case, if you're trying to challenge your neighbor in front of even a zoning board, even when normally the marik would have been applicable, but now you're not doing it to protect your quality of life. You're doing it to hurt your neighbor, then it's also, and you don't even have the marik. One more example, a similar example, and that is, and this is, I'll let you go, and this is what happens if you don't really care about it, but hey, you know that the guy is desperate. Let's give a story that happened. There's a developer who would like to develop a beautiful piece of property. He got the property, Chatz Chinam. It happens to be that property was near a development. Okay. An existing development. It wasn't open to the same street. It was behind the development. It really wouldn't interfere with that development in any meaningful way. When the people in the development found out that this person plans on developing that and get who knows how many houses, approved, who knows how many buildable lots, they hit the roof. This guy is going to make a killing. He's going to make $2 million on this deal. It's crazy. We have the right to protest. So let's come to the table and let's discuss. And they discussed and they told them, look, basically is either you pay us off and you make, you're making a few $2 million on the deal, so why shouldn't we make money on this deal? Also, we have the ability, it's amigo, we have the ability to protest, so let's also try to make money on the deal and pay us off, give us $10,000, $20,000 a piece, and we'll lay low. If not, then we'll go in front of the board. You won't be approved for so many houses. You'll be approved for much less, and it'll be worth much less to you. The kachava, but the less brera, he had to sit down with them, and he paid them off the kachava. That was the maisa. In such a case, you do not have the avni nezer. You're not doing it to protect your quality of life. You're doing it to hurt the guy, or, yes, to pad your pockets through extortion. What the person called in Hebrew, it's called tzchita, you're squeezing the guy. And there's a tshuva from Amendo Shafram printed in Sefer Yoshev HaTov and Chelik Beis. He has this particular story, this type of a story. And he says if you're trying to squeeze the guy and extort money out of him in order to be paid off, not to object, he said that's vadei osa. And any money that you get from that builder, that developer, is gneiva mamish. Because he's not giving it to you out of his free will. He's giving it to you, but the less brayer. Now, you're going to argue, well, it's his business to say. He didn't have to give me the money. He could have go and try to get the approval, and I would have protested, and he wouldn't have gotten as many, so it was worth his while. Zagmendo Shafran, that's Gneva Mamish. There you don't have the Marik. The Marik's not applicable. You're not doing it to protect your own interests. You're doing it to make money on his back. That is going to be awesome. So in Besikim Rabbi Yisai, and I'll make it just a secret, we discussed a lot of stories. If it's a matana, if it's something that your neighbor doesn't own, then you're allowed to fight over this matana. If it's something that your neighbor owns, just he needs a permit, permission for it, that then to go in front of the board would be an issa hezek, probably an issa arkois, and maybe masira as well. What? And we have a makleikus lawyers, and I'm not going to be nichnas ben rashi harem here, but I leave it up to you to decide what it is when you have something that conforms, what's such a story, and when you have something that doesn't conform. I could just repeat that Rabbi Yank and Rabbi held that when the person's going for such a situation, it's better to at least start the process in Bezin. If he doesn't behave and he doesn't conform with Bezin, then yes, then you could send him off to the zoning board. He needs to go to Zoom. Doesn't have to. He needs to.
So the only forum that you have...
No, I could send him as money to Bezin. This has been done numerous times. I could send him as money to Bezin, bring him in front of Bezin, and let him explain to Bezin what he's planning on doing, and Bezin will decide if that conforms with the minig of the city and the ordinance of the city, if it's normal or not. And Bezin will give the directive what to do. And if the person doesn't behave, so then we'll go and send him in front of the board. Look, I'm not a lawyer, but you know and I know that you could always push off dates and reapply, and if you don't want to lose money there, and even if you have the date, it didn't make it to that meeting yet, and then the next month's meeting either, and you have to wait 2 months till you get it. Baruch Hashem, a lot of people want to build here in town, and I have no pioneers on the committee members that are doing their darndest to make it done, but they don't have enough time to have it done. So the Bezin, no problem. Bezin is able and ready to have a session before that date. So come to Bezin and we'll decide.
Before the ordinance that's written very gray and an attorney interprets it one way and people living in the neighborhood interpret it another way, should they go to Bezin first to try to figure it out?
Again, if it's something that you're asking for a matana, you could go to the board. If you're not asking for a matana, if you're asking for... If you're not doing, that's according to my Rick, that's fine. If it protects your interests. Oh, if you're not doing vengeance, my Rick, no, that's also correct. That is also. That's also. It's a menias harevach, and it might be midas toim as well, but it's certainly a menias harevach. Okay, so I wanted to discuss this, and it's going to take 5 minutes to discuss. If whoever wants to leave, because in Tai Kali, I don't want to hold anyone up, but if you'd like, I'll discuss that now. If it's a Moisa de Yeshiva who would like to open up, are you allowed to fight them in front of the township? So it goes like this. The halacha is strictly, and I'm just talking about halacha, the halacha is that even when there are zoning rights, by the way, there are zoning rules in halacha, you can't build too close also, Dalet Ames, and there's Avir, and there's Reed, there's a whole, not the same set of laws, but let's call it somewhat similar set of laws, maybe not as generous as the zoning laws, but there are quality of life laws in Siman Kuf and Vav, the beginning of the Siman, The halacha is over there in Siv Gimel says that all those laws were suspended when it comes to yeshivas, when it comes to Divrei Torah and mitzvahs, kinesay from Tarba Chokma, every additional yeshiva, every additional shul is a gevaldik, kinesay from Tarba Chokma, and mamela, all those laws were suspended. You cannot prevent a lav bar mosa, which means a person who's out of the city to come into town from opening up a yeshiva and claim that it's hasagas gvul. If it would be selling shoes, you would be able to, but if it's opening up a yeshiva, you can't. So those laws were suspended. I want to go into exactly which ones were, but as a klal, kinnis servant tabakokal, man titka yada torah v'yada, that's how the mechab ends off in Yoredei Simon Reish Mem Hei. So they suspended these laws. From a Lakewood Township perspective, it's my understanding is that they passed an ordinance many years ago, I think it was after Zichron Shneimaisa, that basically every area in town, correct me if I'm wrong, is zoned for yeshiva. It's permitted usage, right. It means even though probably we're the only town like that that exists that has that, but because one could argue this is not residential, this is commercial use, but the Toivah Satsiba, we got this.
The law says that a religious use, the First Amendment use, must be granted preference, cannot be zoned. There's no zoning for shuls.
It's
inherently beneficial, must be granted preference.
Correct. Fine.
Which means if you have a 5-acre requirement, it has to be suspended. It has to be reasonable, and that's everyone.
Fine. So now, let's say, had that not been the law, and I would want to fight. So in halakha, I can't stop them. But, so what? I want to exercise the marik. Marik's case also in halakha, I couldn't stop him from moving in, but I want to exercise the marik and asking, petitioning the sire not to let him in. So can I do that same stunt of the marik, so to speak, over here too, against the yeshiva? Or let's say the yeshiva, okay, it's permissible use, but they're doing a monstrosity, they're doing something wild up to the property line, they need a variance, and I want to fight that variance. They're doing something unreasonable. Oh, I'm going to get to that. One second. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. That's 1 second. So over there, this is far from simple. And the reason is for two reasons this is far from simple. One reason is that the whole het of the marik is geboit on a premise that's in debate here, that when they created zoning laws, they usurped the bialis from the party. The individual no longer owns his right to build or build something that doesn't conform. They took away that bialis. Dina de Malkus Adina, they have every right to do so. It's perfect, Dina de Malkus Adina. However, according to many poskim, you can't have Dina de Malkus Adina when it goes against a halachim mufereshes. And since the halachim mufereshes is that a shul or a yeshiva is allowed to build, to say that they usurped that power would be a Dina de Malkus Adina against a halachim mufereshes. And according to many poskim, therefore the Dina de Malkus Adina falls away. So Kum Tois, the yeshiva, whoever owns that property, always has the right to build the yeshiva, and therefore the homarik never starts off, because now you're arguing and disputing over something that's mine, or the yeshiva's. So that would be one problem. A second problem is that why did the Torah suspend zoning rights, or zoning laws, or hasagas gvul laws when it comes to yeshiva? L'man tzedko yandu Torah v'yadu, zok de levush. And the Miksam Seifa, the levush is in Kufnan Vav, Miksam Seifa in Babasa Chofa Mebeis, they say very similar things, that if the Torah wants you to support yeshivas, and Rishu ben Gamla made a takana, there has to be yeshiva in every single shchuna, and that's what they want you to promote yeshivas, kavokhoima ben benoik shakavokhoima, you can't interfere with the building of yeshivas. So menelu, all these laws were suspended. Because if that's the case, and l'chari, I have the same kavokhoima over here too. Sure, you have a stunt to get the sar involved, but and halakha, maybe you should also have been able to stop. But since Rishu ben Gamla wants a yeshiva in every shchuna, and it's a Torah dikka thing that Chazal want you to promote, and you have to aid and abet as much as possible every single yeshiva, for you to do anything contrary to that is a stira to halakha. So to use a sar to do that is also stira to halakha. You're going against what Chazal want. Chazal want more yeshivas, and you're trying to interfere with having that. So that would be a problem, and that would be a problem of this halakha. Just to fairies, what you brought up is that if you'll see, usually, at least very often, when they build these monstrosities, is because they don't need it just for the yeshiva. They have a simcha hall. You're talking about a gym. But it's usually a simcha hall. They have other functions, let's call it non-Torah related structure in this building. And for that, You don't have a heta of Torah. Now you're back to the drawing board. You want to build a base medrash like base iron, wall-to-wall Torah? No problem. You want to build a shul that has a chasnuhul in it as well, or a school that has a chasnuhul? Very nice. I don't have to light the chasnuhul next to my house.
Well, Memeila. Without parking, and everyone living near there is not going to have a parking spot. They have to worry about when you.
But again, if you're doing something that's kuloi Torah, so I can't stop Torah. But if you have something in this building that's not kuloi Torah, so now you're back to a regular, so to speak, residential home, and therefore I have a right to apply the same marik and everything that's there when it's negeya. But if you're doing something kuloi Torah, how could you go ahead and prevent that? If I can't, you're supposed to aid and abet that. You're supposed to support them. You're supposed to help them fight and win the permit. But you're limiting the yeshiva's function. If you have a large base medrash, you say, okay, fine, make it smaller. Base iron, sure, but I wanted base iron to be 20 feet smaller. Hey, that's 200 seats. That's a lot of Torah that you just caused the hefzer on.
Also
bingo,
right?
There
was an issue in town over here where a yeshiva opened a dormitory a block away, let's say, to help the bachram, and the all the neighbors say,
so a dormitory is on an issue. I don't want to get into it, but I'll just tell you a story. There was a story with Moshe Sternbach, Shlita. He lived in Bnei Brak then, and he has a bunch of teenage daughters. And Panovich decided to build a dormitory, a yeshiva, and a dorm right next to his house. So he took them to a bezdin, took them to the bedatz. He wasn't part of the bedatz, and this is going back way back when. And he took them to the bedatz to stop them from building this. It's nice, in fact. I have a bunch of teenage daughters, and now all of a sudden you're parking 200 boys, right? 200 teenage boys right next to my girls. I can't live here. And that was the Din Torah. I'm not going to tell you what the Paskin had. Just a cute story is that in the middle of the Din Torah, Ramesha Sternberg, when he had to present his side, started to give a whole rendition of the Sugyas and go through the Chuvis. And Dain Fisher Zatar was one of the Dionim, and he interrupts and he says, Ramesha, and my mom's in the middle of the Din Torah, Ramesha, does a bezin, nicht a beis medrash. Will to geben a shir, go to zichun moisha. Does it? Just tell us your taina, and we'll figure out the halacha. That was the story. So I'm not going to get into the psak, but that's it. All right, everybody, say thank you for listening.
Rabbi, can you explain something very basic?
Want to open it up for a question answer? Yoelim is welcome. First, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Yeah, Shikaya. Everyone should please make themselves comfortable.
Yes, thank you. I want to thank everyone once again for coming, for participating, the interaction. I appreciate it.
When an applicant comes before the board, he's obligated to give notice, right, as we know. Why am I, the neighbor, guilty of going to a Gentile court if he himself invited me to come to the court?
The halakh is that if two parties want to adjudicate a case, you and I have a dispute, and we both want to go to our courts and not to Bezdin. What's the halakh? Awesome.
So how can the applicant go before the board?
The applicant is going before the board, not to fight. Too. He's going
to
needs
notice.
To get, but he needs to get a permit. So he needs to go in front of the board. He's not doing it to fight. He'd rather you not come and get it. He needs to notify you because otherwise he won't be eligible for his permit. But for you, the two of you to decide to fight there and not in front of a resident, in and of itself is not a heter because you now let it decide to go in front of a secular body.
Even though he invited me to come.
Correct.
Notice.
Even if we both decided it's awesome. There's no heter to go in front of a secular
body. So then he can't go before a board. He can't, an applicant cannot go before the board.
He could go
He's
before the board.
He's forcing a judicature by
no, because they'll go in front of a bezin, and bezin will decide what to do. And if the guy doesn't listen, then a bezin will tell him to go to a guy. Like that. If you hold the marik's applicable, then you'll have that.
Questioning the notice is an invitation.
Once I have a variance, once I have that technically you can't build an item within the master plan, so when you're going to the board, why aren't you taking me automatically? Why aren't you taking away, you being master plan, you're taking my din today, our course.
I'm the applicant?
Yeah.
So I'm
the applicant.
So I'm asking them.
Because I have the right, not the missing. In other words, the variance, every variance.
Well, the whole group, we're done. That's what we're dining. Whose right is it to build that extra feet? Is it my right? Is it the government's right? I don't believe it's your right, for sure not. It's just the government might have done it to protect your interest, but it's certainly not your right. I know I'm hurting you, so that's why the government stepped in, because I'm hurting you.
When he's going through the application, why isn't he taking something away from me by that choice? He's taking away something that I have. I have a right to live in a open, which is normal. A township that can work out of it, but it's normal. And it is a normal. He is going to take...
You're talking about when I'm conforming? You're talking about I'm conforming?
But he's not conforming.
I'm not conforming.
Not conforming. So he's taking away my rights by in front of the planning board by trying to get a variance.
The only right he's taking away is your right to come in front of the board. That's the only right he's taking away.
Right.
You have a right to come, but you don't have a right to build.
Right. People make a mistake. Let me just give you a different example. We'll go back. Right. Very often, people believe that when something's built next to me and it lowers the value of my property, I have a tiny against him. He's hurting me. The truth be told is, he's not hurting me. What happened is like this. Let's say I live in a neighborhood that has beautiful mansions in the neighborhood. That elevates the value of the whole neighborhood. I live there, that's great. All of a sudden, the builder decides to come in, knock down all the mansions, and make shacks. It's going to kill my value. Was he massacring? And the answer is no. Why not? He hurt your bottom line. But he wasn't mad at you. He didn't touch anything that belongs to you. What he did was, I want to say it better. The whole value that you had in your property to begin with was borrowed value. It was the value that all the other neighbors had by building mansions, and you were piggybacking off their houses to elevate your value.
That's why he's quality life.
So same thing. I'm not stepping on your property at all. All I'm doing is building up my property that might not make your property as eerie, let's say. Well, where did that ear come from? That was my ear to begin with. The reason why your property was eerie till now, because you were piggybacking on my ear. It was my ear that you were using till now. So I'm just using that ear. I'm not hurting you. I'm exercising what's mine. Unless you hold that it was taken away from me, so now it belongs to the township. But it's either mine or the township. Less than the ball, it's not yours.
That's there to generate income for the
mouse.
Why is that not part of the
real issue?
I'm building out to make.
We find a heter to teach Torah. Lav Daka, we find a heter to make a business.
But the business is to support it.
And look on the side.
No, no, so, but I'm not going to have the yeshiva.
I want to know if you have a yeshiva who needs to have funds. So what they decided to do is they decided, you know what? They'll go into a phone company. Okay? All right? Or they're going to selling shoes. So they're building a shoe store right next door to your house in a residential neighborhood because they have to generate income. So what? That's generating income like I'm generating income, like you're generating income. You can't do that here.
Would Rabbi Shulman Gamas have a planning board member from ever before? Do I have to approve everything that comes in front of the board?
You're on the planning board? What's your name?
Eli Renner.
Shalom Aleichem. Loy de la Vush says Psak, that lum that's exam cipher, you might have to. I don't want to say you definitely have to.
If I follow the halacha, then I can go and I don't have to go to Bez, then I can just go to the planning board.
No, but he has not halacha.
Again, it's two things. A secular board that paskins halacha is also sarkois. A Jewish board that paskins shaloy al pi halacha is in its sarkois. To get out of its sarkois, you need a Jewish board with Torah. That's what you need.
Base
Hamishbot is
like
our choice, even though it's a yid.
The
Bezin will pass can based on the minig and zoning laws, will apply zoning laws, echo of what's fair. You know and I know that some areas are gray, and just like the fine planning board members use their say Kalayosho, Bezin will try to do the same. What we'll do is sometimes we'll reach out.
What the objections are, and they have discretion, whatever they decide.
So we'll do the same thing and run to the Bezin. I mean, to excuse Choshev people, I would assume that the Bezdin members have equal amount of intelligence as Choshev planning members as well.
Fun doing the same function as what the zoning board is. I just have a Jewish court.
I reach out. It's not like we have these shows all the time, but when we have these shows, I reach out. Nine times I reach out to Meir and Menashe and you. I reach out to different people.
Back on the shul question, you're saying they could build from one line to other line.
Again. In terms of Rabbi Shua ben Gamla, you got the Dalai Lamas, they might have to leave.
Okay.
Certain minimal amount, which is 7 feet, let's say. R75 is 7 and 8. Okay, good, correct. Or it's like an R75.
Yeah, but commercial not.
There's a lot of it is out the window. I'm just telling you, I don't want to say all course of work, but a lot of it.
If all these things out the window, we're required to say that the halacha overrules the laws of the country for these things. As a planning board member who's sworn to uphold the laws, what do? You say, I'm not going to sit in such a case.
Well, you have discretion, you know that. Because you apply it all the time.
Yeah, but when
you exercise it, right? So you have discretion. So it's
for the neighbors.
I'm not telling you what to do. Obviously, you're sick, but you know and I know that usually the reason why they're building such things is because they have other stuff in the building as well.
Sometimes, naturally, yes. Sometimes they come with a shul. They need a shul.
He's right. Like Bezal was the first place that was like
wall-to-wall. Beautiful. Beautiful.
We have a lot of shuls that come build a big shul next to the next neighbors of Berber.
And they don't have a Zoom call?
What?
And they don't have a Zoom call?
Not when they build it.
No.
But their building area, they have a whole area for Zoom call.
A lot of them we require.
But they're going to bring in traffic and bring in the garbage cans and bring in, you know, smelly food.
And they accomplish the same thing with 10 feet shorter, right?
On a smaller oifen. So that I'm leaving up to them to decide.
On the corner of Martin Luther King and Pine, a shul just went up there.
Right? A trailer.
A trailer. So it's wall to wall.
They didn't come yet,
but they put it up without permission. Right?
It's coming next month, yeah.
So that shul right there is going to cause traffic. It's going to cause hesitation.
I don't think it's going to cause traffic. First of all, it's competition to me, but I will argue for them. I have my shoes right there, you know that. Yeah, but I will argue for them. It's a Shabbos shul. You know and I know, don't drive the car on Shabbos, so it's not going to cause much traffic.
Most of the moms are not shuls, it's schools.
Right.
Because shuls serve most of the time people in the neighborhood.
Yeshivas.
Schools and yeshivas is busing people coming from outside the neighborhood, and they leave.
So we started
or
doing
dormitories.
Well, the noise is.
We started doing, say, you want a shul? You say you have enough parking.
The shul serves the neighborhood. Most people walk.
It's contingent. You get the township committee to not allow parking on the street next to your shul.
Because then we'll free up more spots.
I promise you have enough parking. We have a huge parking center. You really sure it's enough? I'm telling you. You don't need parking on the street. Okay, I'm doing this. I'll tonight.
Well, can we restrict this trailer in the deed that they can only examine on Travis?
That way you protect it by the neighbor's houses. We just did with a school.
Like Jim Shumagama, I shouldn't be allowed. I mean, that...
Like the Lavush is pshat. It means that the Lavush has a that's the reason. Like that. It's a different
pshat. It's prohibited for me to object to someone's application in front of the planning board because it's his right, right? And why is he allowed to go to the planning board in the first place?
He has to get permission.
Isn't he going with asking them to...
No, he's asking for a permit. He's asking, no, not to resolve. He's asking for a permit.
You have to present the plan.
You have to go to the planning board. You have to present the plan.
What's the function of the planning board?
The zoning board, you mean.
The zoning board. This is a dispute. He's wanting to do something that the neighbors are...
Zoning is this field. Planning is usually not a dispute.
Zoning is adjustments. I'm a zoning board. Zoning is adjustments. Planning, you have to present the plan
that's the zoning board.
Mr. Lord, the water drain is a lot more.
Maybe. I want to go to the zoning board and ask for permission to build the property line, right? Now, the reason there's a zoning board is because there are going to be people in the neighborhood that are going to object. Instead of each person individually coming and objecting, we set up a board to resolve that dispute, right? So ultimately, when I'm making the application in front of the zoning board, I'm asking the zoning board to resolve the dispute between me and my neighbors. How am I allowed to go in the first place?
You should know. A lot of people come to us afterwards, and they're afraid to come and speak in public against an application, and they rely on zoning members to speak on their behalf to give
that's
them
the function
what's
of the board,
fair.
Right?
Okay.
So ultimately,
not,
I'm
not
going
that
in.
They shouldn't encroach.
Okay. So if they don't show up, it's not a problem. Go ahead,
a lot of times they're intimidated to show up.
But it doesn't. They're asking them to.
They're asking
to
in advance or behind
the scenes.
We're, intimidated to show up either by the opposing lawyer or the. So
a
lot of times we're representing
the
people.
They're asking the board to resolve.
So
they should be allowed to
go.
So why can't they go in front of a bed? Why can't the other people? Because they don't want to.
Look what a simple issue.
won't get the kid into school.
Lakewood has a simple issue? Why don't they put part of the plan on the board? They haven't eaten cup of
coffee.
In the part of the plan, one page should be to have to put basic. Right away.
No, you can't subject the whole township to be subject to arbitration, a religious arbitration.
I have a question. Why is it when a person comes to plan with board zoning, they have to send into what defeat both boards? Why? And part of the letter states, we may ask you variance, and you have full rights to come to the meeting and protest this. Why are they not waiving the right to go to Bezim when they...
Because even if two parties decide l'chatchila that they want to go in front of a secular court, they're still in the secular court.
But what if the maskim go in front of a shlish that's not a din?
It means, let's say I have a machlekes with you, and I, we both rather go to court rather than Bezim, it's still
a
secular
court. But if you're going to a shlish, not a court.
A yid? And what body of law is he applying? Halacha, fine. Secular law, problem.
For other shiurim by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.